What's up, everybody? Hey, Jake Welchens here, the host of Readout Podcast. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, wow, new intro, they're changing things up. Not exactly. Our producer, Logan Bongean, our in-house legend, ended up getting a concussion, probably doing something noble like saving a kid out of a tree or something like that. But anyways, he's not here to grace us this week with his amazing technological touches. So you got me. Throwing it together, editing it, glad to do it, but not as polished as Logan obviously does. We love you, Logan. Looking out for you, man. For those of you guys who don't know, Logan is our producer on the Endangered Species and Readout Podcast for the Launchpad Podcast Collection, and we are wishing him well as he recovers. Love you, Logan. All right, everybody, we're going to kick this thing off. We are in a rough patch. The past week has been one of the most divisive in history, and you have a choice as a leader. Will you be someone who chooses to embrace the uncomfortable and bring people together, or someone who chooses instead the safety and comfort of division? Today, we want to challenge you to do the uncomfortable. We'll be bringing you some tips on being someone who brings people together in a book that will help you on your path to doing just this. Be the difference and bring people together. Welcome to the Readout Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Welchens, and for the past 10 years, I've been helping young leaders reach their potential. At Readout, our belief is that to lead out, you have to read out. And to read out means to read well and to read broadly. Almost every great leader in history has been a reader, and we wholeheartedly agree with Margaret Fuller when she said, "Today a reader, tomorrow a leader." Reading is not optional to leadership. It's not the side dish. It's the main course. And in order to become a great leader, you have to dig in. But here's the problem. We here at Readout know that in this day and age, time and energy is hard to come by. My hope is to save you that time and energy and bring you the best books that can have an impact in your life right now. Then I want to teach you to get the most out of these books so that you can become the leader you've always dreamed of being, faster than you ever imagined. Our dream is to create a movement of young adults passionate about reading and dangerously effective at leading. Thank you to everyone sharing us on social media. We need your help building the movement, and I'm so grateful that you would take the time to share this. It means a lot to me, and we need all of your help building this movement. So if you have a minute, go ahead and share this on your favorite social media platform. We'd be super grateful for that. Today, we're continuing our new series, Two Birds with One Book. In this series, we're going to be focusing on those rare books that grip you with entertainment while leaving you a better person on the other side. As leaders, we're all busy with new goals, habits, visions, and dreams, and so we wanted to bring you books that would grab your attention up front while also helping you move forward in your leadership. Get ready. There are some seriously entertaining and life-changing books on deck. The book today could not be more timely with what's going on around the world, especially in the United States. It's happening. We're reaching a tipping point in the United States. January 6th wrought horrors for the vast majority of Americans as we watched a group of people invade the U.S. Capitol building in a horrifying spectacle for this beautiful democracy. Senators and representatives were rushed to the safety of a military base. A police officer was murdered. A standing president was pulled off of Twitter. Civilians were posting selfies with their feet on prominent politicians' offices and their desks. Politicians on both sides were quick to decry the perpetrators. Public outrage has been swift and brutal with this event, and citizens on both sides of the political spectrum were left speechless. We can all agree that this is madness. Yet instead of embracing civil discourse, we've spiraled into our respective camps, digging our heels in and blaming the other side. This is insanity. And the sad thing is, this is exactly what they want. Now, who exactly are they? They're the forces that stand to benefit from you choosing a side. They are politicians, social media companies, news outlets, and more that profit both figuratively and literally from you being angry at the other side. They're the ones that want to entrench you, to isolate you, and prevent you from having meaningful conversations with the other side. They're the ones that want to keep you from listening and train you to only criticize and feel self-justified in your rage at the other side. And most importantly, they're the ones keeping you from reaching your potential as a leader. Can I challenge you on something today? Don't be a pawn for them. Learn to grow past the politics and look to unite people on what they have in common versus what's different. Now, this problem is nothing new in the United States or the world. In American colonial times and revolutionary times, prominent men and women would often write under fake names. For example, you know, like the Finsta of the 1700s, right? They were doing those things all the time, writing under these fake names to insult and berate their opponents and to enrage the general populace. This often led to public figures of the other side being publicly humiliated through a brutal tar and feathering or something much, much worse. In the mid-1900s, Hitler used his platform to divide Germany and lead to the rise of the Nazi Party. Obviously, that led to genocide and the destruction of a country so many loved and many more countries outside of that. Today, we're seeing this deep polarization again. And who's to blame? Both sides. Now, I live in Tucson, Arizona. It's a wonderful city, but one that is a perfect microcosm for what's going on in the United States today. It could not be more divided. The center of the city is solidly blue, a Democratic powerhouse. The outskirts of the city are solidly red, a Republican base. I have the privilege of interacting with friends from both parts of the city on a frequent basis. And when I talk to friends in the city, we talk about the things they value, mostly better public education, climate change, public health care, things along those lines. Now, when I talk to friends outside the city, we talk about the things they value as well, mostly capitalism, conservative values, private education. Here's what's crazy. Both sides assume most people agree with them on these issues because they think to themselves, how could you not? I mean, the facts don't lie, or to put it in popular terms, facts don't care about your feelings, if you know what I'm referencing there. But when the facts support both sides, and when the answer isn't clear, which is the truth about almost every major issue, what's the right path? What's the right path that we should take? Is it to dig in and vilify and yell at the other side, blame them for all of their problems? Is it to post that article which so conveniently was placed on your newsfeed by an algorithm and post a rant about why the less enlightened on the other side just need to stop being ignorant? Is it to virtue signal on every social media platform you have so other people know that you're not one of them? No. None of those things are the answer, but we fall into these things so often, myself included. There's a much better path. One of my favorite influencers is named Craig Rochelle. He's a real estate developer, influencer, pastor, speaker, and most importantly, seemingly a great dad and husband, something I value so much and all things I really dreamed to be one day. The other day, he broke down a line from the Bible. I love this line. It's called the Great Commandment. And in other words, if you look at the whole Bible, this is what Jesus considered to be the most important thing in the Bible, the single thing we have to focus on. And here's what it sounds like. It sounds like this. There was a man who came to Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Basically, Jesus, what's the most important thing in the Bible? Jesus looked at this guy and he replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Did you catch that? What was the most important thing for a person to focus on? Love. Loving God. And equally, loving people. I love how Craig Rochelle puts it together. And the other day on his Instagram, when he posted something, he said this: "Jesus didn't tell us to be right. He told us to be loving." Wow. That's great, great stuff. So simple, but so true. Jesus didn't tell us to be right. He told us to be loving. How much different would our world and country be if instead of focusing on who's right and who's wrong, we put most of our focus on how can I love those around me? Now, I totally believe we want to make wise decisions, data-backed decisions, science-endorsed decisions, but that shouldn't be our primary motivator in how we deal with the people around us. That's a world-changing idea and one you should embrace as a leader. If you're listening to this podcast, you're aspiring to be a leader just as I am. And as leaders, we have to rise above the fray and we have to do better in this time where everything is polarized. We have to learn to see things we have in common. We have to learn to love those we disagree with, and we have to gain perspective. You see, it's so easy to be someone who spouts out your favorite news services, talking points, vilifying people you don't know, and encouraging the divide and building your self-righteousness and being right. People will praise you for that. But we can do so much better as leaders. And today I want to talk to you about three ways you can train yourself to bring people together. Follow along with me here. The first way you can train yourself to bring people together is this: to love people very different than you. One of the best surprises of living in Tucson is the myriad of people I get to rub shoulders with. One of the biggest challenges to our time here in Tucson, not challenges, one of the biggest blessings to our time here in Tucson has been living next to Barbara and Sid. They're an older couple, and they're so different than my wife and I. Sid's a nuclear physicist, and Barbara is a philanthropist, volunteer, a wonderful teacher, and someone who did time in the Peace Corps. She's amazing. We could not be more different from these people, though. They value gardening, sustainable energy, and outdoor experiences. I value buying my groceries at Walmart. I love business, and my wife and I love the great indoors. That's kind of who we are. We're not outdoorsy type people. But here's the deal. We disagree with Barbara and Sid often, but we're better for it. And the crazy thing is, we're still friends. There's still love between us. You know what's happened on both sides? We've both grown. We've both developed. We've both gotten better. Both couples have grown, and we've learned that people who disagree can still be friends, and they should still be friends. That's the only way to bring unity. Find friends outside your comfort zone. Be intentional with your relationships. You'll be a much better leader for it. If you don't have people that are friends with you that are different from you, you got to take the step as a leader. The second way you can train yourself to bring people together is this: take your new friend's advice. Don't just be friends with people who disagree with you. Try their ideas on for size. See what's good in the idea, because there's always good to find in others' ideas. Now, I'm not saying to try things blindly, right? You might want to pass on the psychedelic drugs or the base jumping, but when you're challenged with a new idea, try it out. If it's an idea, do your best to learn about it and see what you can learn from their point of view. For example, a lot of people in Tucson love vegan food. I love Canes. I love processed candy. I love things that are terrible for me. But I had a lot of people encouraging me to try vegan food, and guess what? I did it. I tried to eat the jackfruit tacos or the cashew cheese, and guess what? It wasn't as bad as I thought. I learned and I grew, right? I've turned these ideas down often. I haven't always been someone willing to take others' advice, but I really want to push forward as a leader, trying to be that person who will take other people's advice, ideas, try them on for size before I criticize. Your life will expand as you learn to try on others' ideas. You won't embrace them all, but you'll grow as a person as you do. And the third way you can train yourself to be someone who brings people together is to read things that challenge you or that you disagree with. One of the best ways I've trained myself to bring people together is to read things that are inherently challenging to me or that I just basically disagree with. For example, I just finished Obama's new book, A Promised Land. On the front end, I would say I'm someone who disagreed with many of Obama's policies. Well, what did I think about the book? I loved it. It was an incredible book. I absolutely enjoyed my time reading it. Why? It gave me perspective on who he is as a person and why he did the things he did. It was like he and I got to sit down for a day and discuss his presidency. And you know what happens when you sit down with someone and have an honest conversation? You might end up liking that person and seeing past what they believe for who they really are. Shout out to Obama. If you get wind of this podcast, I'd love to grab coffee, just to make a note there. but read things you disagree with or that you find inherently challenging. You'll gain perspective and grow as people. You'll be bringing people together instead of being someone who divides. Now, today we have an incredible book for you. And no matter what camp you find yourself in, religiously, politically, ideologically, or whatever else, you will enjoy this book. And as a side benefit, you will be on your way towards bringing people together. We'll get to that book in 1 second. We are back, and we've got a major challenge ahead of us as leaders. People are more divided than ever. Companies, politicians, and news outlets are making money hand and foot from this division. It's easier than ever to embrace a tribe and isolate yourself from people you disagree with. Yet despite all this, I want to challenge you to embrace the challenge of uniting people. It's worth it, and it's extremely rare. It's an incredible leadership skill. Be the exception and change the world. Like I said earlier, in order to grow in the skill of bringing others together, it's incredibly useful to read the perspectives of those unlike you. Now, let's get the obvious out there. I'm a white, partly Italian, just to make myself sound cooler, middle-class male. They don't make them more average than me. It'd be easy for me to always read comfortable things and spend time with people just like me. Because this is true, it is even more important for me to get other people's viewpoints and put myself in other shoes. I have a huge weakness in that I think everyone should conform to my views or thoughts, and I have to be able to break free of that. A couple months ago, I found a godsend of a book to help me be more circumspect. It's one that's incredibly entertaining. It's another part paradigm shifting and helpful, and it's called The Warmth of Other Suns by Isabel Wilkerson. Have you heard of the Great Migration? Most people haven't, but you need to. This book follows the story of three African Americans who left the Jim Crow South in the early 1900s to what they hoped would be better shores. Why is it so impactful? Because you get to follow the story of three unique people who are different than you. No matter what background you're from, no matter who you know, no matter what your life's like, they are different than you. And you get to see life from their point of view. What a privilege. As you read this book, you'll find yourself crying, laughing, cringing with pain, hoping, and wondering along the way as you follow the lives of these amazing people. It's an incredible journey to take and one that will leave you with a much better perspective on the other side and hopefully a desire to bring other people together. Let's start with this excerpt from Isabel Wilkerson in her book, The Warmth of Other Suns, just to pull you in. Check this out. The night clouds were closing in on the salt licks east of the Oxbow Lake along the folds in the earth beyond the Yalubusha River. The cotton was at last cleared from the field. Ida May tried now to get the children ready and to gather the clothes and quilts and somehow keep her minds off the churning within her. She had sold off the turkeys and doled out in secret the old stools, the wash pots, the tin tub, the bed pallets. Her husband was settling with Mr. Ed over a year's worth of labor, and she did not know what would come of it. None of them had been on a train before. Not unless you counted the clattering local from Bacon Switch to Okolona, where, by the time you sit down, you're there, as Ida May put it. None of them had been out of Mississippi, or Chickasaw County for that matter. There was no explaining to little James and Velma the stuffed bags and chaos and all that was at stake or why they had to put on their shoes and not cry and bring undue attention from anyone who might happen to see them leaving. Things had to look normal, like any other day. What happens next? Do yourself a favor and find out. Here are this week's shortcuts to success. Every week, we're going to give you all some shortcuts to success. Think of them as cliff notes for instant application until you can get your hands on the book. This week, we're only doing one to not give away too much of the book, and here it is. Number one shortcut to success this week is this: buck the common narrative. We've all heard the common narratives about people. Sometimes they sound like this: if they tried harder, they'd be successful. Or, he's making more money, so he should just be happy. But what if the common narratives are simplistic and misleading? To be honest, that's a limiting and fixed mindset when it comes to being a leader. What if every human circumstance is different, resulting in different outcomes or reactions? That's the truth, and you'll find plenty of that in this book. When you feel tempted to resist one of the characters' outcomes or reactions to a situation, instead of pulling away, embrace the discomfort. Try to experience life from their point of view. You'll learn something, as I did many times. The Warmth of Other Suns is an incredible true story, one that's woven together with Master Skill by Isabel Wilkerson. If you want a book that's entertaining and helpful, look no further. If you're looking for a book that will help you on your journey to bringing others together, then go out and buy the book today. If you're looking to buy the book on Amazon, please use our link in the show description notes. Every time you buy a book with one of our links, you get the book at the same price, and we get a portion of the proceeds to keep bringing you guys the best content we possibly can. So we'd appreciate it if you buy it, use our link. Or if you want to listen to it, which is what I did, you can use our Audible deal, get 2 free digital books at no risk to yourself. Go ahead and click that. If you want the digital books, they're amazing. That's book 2 for 2 birds with 1 book. Stay tuned for the podcast for more books just like it that are ridiculously entertaining and solidly helpful. This is your host, Jake Welchens, and remember, life's too short for bad books. Here's my ask. If there's someone out there who you think would benefit from this podcast, please share it. Let's build this thing together. To connect or see what I'm reading right now, follow me on Instagram at Jake Welchens. This podcast is brought to you by the Launchpad Podcast Collection and performed and written by myself, Jake Welchens. Podcast production usually done, not this week, as you can tell by the amateur effort, usually done by Logan Bongean, the wizard himself. See you next time on Readout.